Long Division, a touching evil fan fiction written by Carolyn Crane and read by Lunchy for Wallflowering. Cregan believes in looking out for what's his. Lately, that includes Rivers. David doesn't remember who suggests drinks after work. Usually, after a rough case, none of them want to look at each other for a while. But someone suggests beers, and before he can say no, that he and Rivers are just going to head out, and anyway he's still not really drinking, most of the team is putting on their coats and dragging David out of his chair. Mark walks next to him on the way out of the building, then down the sidewalk to the nearest bar. His shoulder brushes against David's every so often, and once in a while he glances over and makes a face like this is the last thing he wants to be doing with his night, but he doesn't say anything. Instead, he follows Branker into the bar, pausing to blink at the sudden change in light. And David rests a hand on the small of his back to guide him out of the way of Swopes and the others. They end up crammed together at the end of the bar, Mark's arm pressed against David's, and he can feel the tension start to ease out of Mark with each beer. And he can hold his liquor. David's pretty sure it's an occupational hazard, at least for most of them. But he hasn't had any food since some time before lunch, so by the time he's at the bottom of his third drink, Mark's starting to relax. David pauses in his conversation with Hank long enough to glance over at him, smiling at his half-closed eyes and the tie hanging loose around Mark's neck. "Okay there, partner?" "Perfect," Mark answers, which technically isn't true, but it's close enough that David doesn't bother to argue. He just lets Mark flag down the bartender for a refill, turning back to Hank and laughing when he finds Hank frowning at Mark over his shoulder. "How's he doing?" Hank asks, voice low and leaning in as though Mark might hear him over the bar noise. David glances over his shoulder at Mark again, and for a second his fingers twitch with the need to touch. He gives in to the impulse, fingers landing on Mark's arm where it's resting on the bar, and curling around the wool of his suit jacket before he lets go again. "He's good," David answers, smile a little brighter as he leans close to his boss. "Perfect." Hank makes the face that tells David he doesn't want to know, isn't interested in the details of whatever's going on between them. Everybody knows something's going on, but nobody asks, because most of them don't want to think about it. For Hank, it's even worse, because if he knows, he might have to do something about it, and he can see as well as anybody else that Mark and David both function a lot better together than they ever did apart. "Just make sure he doesn't drink too much. If we get another case, he's not calling in hungover." For once, David hopes they don't get another case, at least not for a day or two. Normally, he likes the challenge. He doesn't like the death, doesn't like the haunted looks on the victims or the people they leave behind. But he likes it when the monsters show themselves, when they make a mistake that lets the OCSU stop them from hurting anyone else. But this last case took a lot out of all of them, and even David can see that the team could use a break. Mark could use a break. And if they don't have to get out of bed before dawn tomorrow to deal with more misery, that's okay with him. His hand lands on Mark's shoulder and squeezes as he flashes another grin in Hank's direction. Their boss rolls his eyes and casts one last glance at Mark before he turns away in search of someone else to talk to. Or maybe a quiet corner where he can get drunk in peace. David's still watching him go, when a hand closes around his, where it's resting on Mark's shoulder. Then he's being pulled backwards, and an arm's sliding around his waist. He lets Mark pull him close, lets Mark rest his chin on David's shoulder and breathe in deep. Then David tilts his head back, just far enough to see that Mark's eyes are closed. "You ready to get out of here?" Mark nods without opening his eyes, and David grins again and tugs on the hand still wrapped around his. "We've been over this, Rivers. I'm not carrying you. Mark makes a noise like some kind of disgruntled animal and slumps a little harder against David's back, one arm still clamped around his waist, and letting David drag him through the crowded bar. There are enough people packed into the place that nobody really notices that David kind of is carrying him, but once they get out onto the sidewalk, Mark lets David pull away and hail a cab. It means having to catch a cab back to the FBI building to get the car at some point tomorrow, but it's easier than dragging Mark all the way back to the parking garage at work. With any luck, they won't need the car tomorrow anyway. David's not usually the type to lie around in bed all day, but he's willing to make a lot of exceptions for Mark. When the cab pulls up in front of their place, David helps Mark out. Then he pays the driver and slides an arm around Mark's shoulders to help him up the steps. Mark sways a little on his feet, while David digs into his pockets for the keys. And when he laughs, it's lazy and kind of thick. Are you trying to take advantage of me? You never complained before, David points out. But he grins back at Mark and pushes him through the open door. Once he locks it behind them, he follows Mark into the hall, picking up his overcoat where he dropped it on the floor and hanging it up next to Cregan's. He finds Mark's tie near the living room, nearly trips over his right shoe on the way past the bedroom, and finally catches up with Mark in the bedroom. He's stretched out on the duvet, shirt untucked and jacket off, but otherwise fully clothed. David rolls his eyes and slides his own jacket off before he climbs onto the bed and stretches out to lean on one elbow and look at Mark. His eyes are closed and his arms are stretched out above him, and David considers just letting him sleep off his buzz, but before he can climb off the bed and finish undressing, Mark opens one eye and reaches out to grip David's tie. "Hi," he says, tugging David forward until he takes the hint and presses their lips together. "Hi," David answers, his mouth curving into a grin against Mark's cheek. He runs his fingers through Mark's hair, and when Mark makes a contented noise, David laughs. "You want to get some sleep, or should I order some food?" Mark shakes his head against the mattress, then he releases his grip on David's tie to tug at the buttons on David's shirt. "Why are you wearing so many clothes?" "Because Hank would fire us if we showed up to work without them," David answers, but he pushes Mark's hand away and rolls onto his back to unbutton his shirt. Once it's off, he tugs his undershirt over his head. Then he kicks his shoes off and climbs back onto the bed to plant a knee on either side of Mark's thighs. "What were you two talking about anyway?" Mark asks, arms still stretched over his head, and letting David do all the work of undressing both of them. But David doesn't really mind. "He said I should take care of you." For a second, Mark doesn't answer, and David thinks maybe he's asleep. But then his eyes open, and David can see he's wide awake. "You're good at it." "I look out for what's mine," David says, looking away from Mark's serious expression to focus on getting him out of his clothes. "It's the truth." He looked out for his girls, even though it almost killed him to send them away. And now he's looking out for Mark, too. He's not planning to stop unless Mark makes him. And even then, David will put up a fight. He pulls Mark up off the mattress to push his shirt off his shoulders, hands sliding along warm skin and tracing the hard flex of Mark's biceps. His undershirt is next, and when David reaches for his pants and eases his zipper down, Mark lifts his hips off the mattress and lets David drag his pants and boxers down his thighs. He's half hard already, arms shaking as he holds himself up, and lets David pull the rest of his clothes off. Once Mark's naked, he reaches for David, dragging him forward with one hand in his hair to press hot, open-mouthed kisses to the side of his neck. He's whispering against David's skin, words he doesn't say all that often, and David's pretty sure that's because he's afraid if he says it too much, he'll lose it. David doesn't try to convince him otherwise, because they've both seen enough loss to know it could happen. They've both almost died. David has died. and they know there's a good chance they won't be so lucky the next time. So David doesn't tell him it's okay. That he can say things like, "I love you," without worrying about what's going to come along to take it away. Instead, he turns his head until he finds Mark's mouth, tongue sliding past his teeth, and kissing Mark hard enough to remind him that David knows exactly how he feels. He lets Mark pull him down onto the mattress, stretching out next to him and pushing a knee between Mark's bare legs until Mark's rocking up against him. He's making little noises in the back of his throat that go straight to David's cock, and when he feels Mark's hands push between them to tug his pants open, David grinds down into his touch. Mark's naked underneath him, thrusting up into the warmth of David's body heat and digging his fingers into David's back, dragging him closer and doing everything he can think of to get more. More heat and more skin and more of David's mouth on his. Of his hands on Mark to lift him up and pull him open until Mark's panting for breath and begging David to quit screwing around and just give him what he wants. David laughs and presses another hard kiss against Mark's mouth. Then he helps Mark drag the rest of his clothes off before he lets Mark pull him back onto the bed. Lets Mark wrap strong arms around him and pull him close, hands on every part of David he can reach, and his mouth moving restlessly along David's shoulder. He takes the lube Mark presses into his hand and pushes two fingers inside Mark, working in and out of him until Mark's gritting his teeth and hissing. "Just fucking get on with it already, Cregan, you asshole!" Then David's pushing inside Mark, letting him hook a leg around David's thighs to drag him even deeper, over and over and rocking together until David lets go with a grunt. He doesn't last that long, but he hasn't had anything to drink, and he's been thinking about this moment pretty much since they wrapped their case, so he's way ahead of Mark. His face is pressed into the crook of Mark's neck, mouth open against sweat-slick skin and tasting salt and Mark. He breathes in deep, then again, filling his senses with Mark over and over so he can remember this when they're back out in the field, surrounded by misery. Mark's hands stroke up and down his back, hips still moving in a steady rhythm, and David reaches between them to close a hand around his cock. Mark groans and thrusts up into his grip, faster and faster, breathless and red-faced and gripping David's shoulders hard when he finally lets go. David's hand is still moving on him, grip loose and stroking in time with the slow thrusts of Mark's hips while he waits for Mark to come down. When he finally collapses against the mattress, David lets go, wiping his hand on the sheet before he stretches out next to Mark and turns on his side to look at him. He reaches out to rest a hand on the center of Mark's chest, watching his hand rise and fall with each breath, and the way Mark's eyelashes flutter against his cheeks. "Are you asleep?" A hand reaches up to close around his, fingers sliding together, and when Mark cracks one eye open to look at him, David grins. "Like I could sleep with you running your mouth all the time." His lips curve into a smile when David laughs, then his free hand comes up to curve around the back of David's neck. "Though I have to admit, it's a pretty nice mouth." David rewards him with a delighted smile and leans in to press a soft kiss against the corner of Mark's mouth. When he pulls back, Mark's eyes are closed again, so David stretches out next to him and tugs until Mark's back is pressed against his chest. "Get some sleep," he whispers near Mark's ear, punctuating the words with another kiss against the side of his neck this time. "Not tired," Mark murmurs, but they both know that's a lie. "Just need to close my eyes for a minute." "Sure," David says, his arm tightening around Mark's chest. "I'll just stay right here." "It's creepy when you watch me sleep."
"Good thing you're not sleeping then," David answers, grinning when Mark fails to stifle a yawn.
"Yeah," he mumbles. "Good thing."
He's already half asleep, and a few seconds later, his chest is rising and falling steadily under David's hand. But it doesn't matter, because David meant what he said. He's planning to stay right where he is for as long as Mark lets him. The end.